Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You're going to see a theme in this chapter where Jesus is kind of instructing us on how to do things and the way that we should do things. And depending on what we do and how we do it, we will receive a heavenly reward or we won't receive a heavenly reward. And he's going to say this a lot. He's going to say they have the reward because the way that people do things, like he's saying, when they do their alms before men, when they try to do their good deeds to be seen of men, then that is their reward. That's the reward that the people are getting. Because if you pray, you know, maybe if you pray or do things or do good things so that people can see you do good things, then what you're really looking for is validation from people. So when people see you do the thing, that is your reward, if people perceive that as you being a good person. But it has to be based on what you're seeking. But if you seek validation from God, if you want to please God, then you will receive a heavenly reward from God, because that's who you're trying to please. But if you're just trying to do it to show off or make yourself look like a good person, then you're receiving your reward based on your intention behind that action. And he even calls these people, in the verse 2, he calls them hypocrites. He says, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. So it's not a sincere desire to do good, to help people, if you're doing it, you know, like sounding a trumpet or to draw attention to yourself. Drawing attention to yourself is not the way that God wants you to operate in the world, not the way he wants you to carry out the word. He doesn't want you to do it so that you can draw attention to yourself. He wants you to do it, you know, for the good of, to please him, to please the people, and to do his will. And to be, you know, an example on earth of what Christ is like, and to draw people into that light. To be the salt of the earth in that way. So when people do things for themselves or to be seen, they're hypocrites, as Jesus is saying, and they have the reward. And verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. And you know, there's many ways to interpret this, but it can mean that you know, part of that is like the body of Christ, right? Like we're all part of the same body, and Jesus talks about that, and Paul talks about that. That is the body of Christ. So you know, your left hand won't know what your right hand is doing. So even within your close relationships, it's really to symbolize a closeness of people, because your right hand and your left hand are part of the same being, part of the same body. And they're supposed to be working harmoniously with each other. So there's a closeness there between your right hand and your left hand. But when you're doing your alms, when you're doing good deeds, you know, try to keep it as minimized, as a low profile as possible. So don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So it should be a secret thing. It should be something that, you know, you don't try to tell people you did this for somebody, or say, well, I did this for that guy, or I did this for this sister or brother. But really, it should be something that, you know, you keep to yourself, or you keep on a very low profile. You don't try to take credit for everything, but you do it, you know, to do it. And then there's people who, you know, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, and a cheerful giver is not someone who, you know, who gives to get something back. That's the wrong spirit of giving. There's many people in this life and in this world who are going to try and do things for people because they expect it's a pat on the back. It's like, I pat your back, you pat mine. And it's that type of thing where it's an exchange. And there's nothing necessarily always wrong with, you know, a mutual agreement or a mutual, you know, taking care or protection of each other. But when, if you're doing alms, which is like good deeds or things, you know, that the Bible instructs you to do, it's you don't try to make a big deal out of it or make a big show out of it. You know, you need to give without wanting to receive in return. If you give something to someone, you shouldn't be waiting for them to return that favor, return that gift, but you should give, and whether they give back or not is irrelevant. It doesn't even matter. It shouldn't even cross your mind. You just want to give because you want to give. And that's the selflessness of Christ. And regardless, and that's you see that reflected in Christ's life when he dies on the cross. You know, not everyone's going to accept that sacrifice, but whether or not they accept it or not, he gave that. He gave that part of himself. He suffered these things. You know, the Bible says he was sorrowful even unto death. So he went through all those that stress and struggle and pain and torture for people who may not even accept that sacrifice. You know, but we as Christians, we accept the sacrifice. We accept what he did, and we receive the rewards from that. But whether or not people would accept him or not, he did that for humanity so that, you know, those who would accept it would be saved. He wasn't doing it thinking that, oh, well, this many people are going to accept it, this many people won't accept it, so I might as well just not do it because the more people than not are going to deny my sacrifice. But he did it so that the few who would get it, you know, would get it. And he did it regardless of whether or not he got anything back from it. It was a selfless act. You know, it was an act of love for humanity. But it was not something where he was thinking about himself, or it was a selfish deed. You know, even when he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's saying, "If this cup can pass from me," he's as a man, he's stressing about these things, and he doesn't want to go through with crucifixion, which is even to this day is a terribly painful way to die. And he's saying, "Let this cup pass from me," but then it ultimately he says, "Let your will be done, and not mine," and he gives that over, and it's that surrender, it's that selflessness. And that's the same selflessness that we're called to have as Christians, is regardless of whether people accept it or not, regardless of whether people, you know, give us credit for it or pat us on the back, we should still try to give to people, try to be the best version of ourselves, to be able to display those Christian attributes and not get caught up in the, you know, who did I give to and who didn't do this for me and who owes me this, but really just to give for the sake of giving. And in verse 4, you know, he says that your alms will be in secret, but your Father will reward you openly. Sometimes you see people, you know, who are successful and you don't always understand, but sometimes God is rewarding them openly for things they did in secret. And sometimes, you know, ministers and their ministry, and you don't always see what happens behind closed doors. But sometimes God is rewarding people for, you know, things they've done in secret. And even in the end times when we get to heaven, when everything is said and done, there will be heavenly rewards for what we did here on earth. And then the Bible even says that those who die, you know, for the faith can receive a crown of life. So that those are the rewards that we're to get. And to measure those rewards, like there's the rewards of being seen of men, which is people can, you know, think you're great. But there's also heavenly rewards, which are eternal, which will last forever. So to weigh those out, you know, it always makes sense to go for the heavenly rewards. So to do those things in secret and to seek approval from God and not from men. Because men, you know, you really can't depend on men, any man, any person, anyone. You're gonna have to depend on God, because men are not dependable. So even if you want to seek favor from men or people or people around you, you know, you see how the media or the Hollywood or celebrities, you know, one day everyone loves this person, the next day a scandal happens or something happens and they're canceled or whatever the case may be. But when God accepts you, that is eternal. He's not going to change his mind about you. By the way, you know, what stresses to us all the time, where he says that if God loved you once, he's going to love you always. You know, he didn't change his mind. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he loves you once, he'll always love you. And that's whose approval we should be seeking. It should be approval from God and not from men. And then he'll reward you openly. In verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So you're seeing this contrast of they have the reward and your Father shall reward you openly. So there's people who have the reward and they won't receive the heavenly benefits because they're doing it to be seen of men. And there's people who do things in secret and they may not always be seen, but it says the Father will reward you openly. And he's saying, you know, people want to pray out loud and do their alms in public and pray in the synagogues, but he's saying you shouldn't pray out in the synagogue. You shouldn't pray to be seen. You should really go into your prayer closet in a small confined space where it's just you and you alone, and you just pray to God. And that's where, you know, your good deed should be done, in a prayer closet, in a manner of speaking, and just somewhere private, somewhere, you know, solitary, where it's just you and not many people know about what's going on, but you did something. maybe generous, maybe gave someone some money, maybe just talked to someone, maybe just those little good deeds that we're commanded to do in the Bible, but you just don't make it an event or a big deal or something to see or something to show off to other people. You just do it in secret. In verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So do not speak in vain repetitions, because God is not hearing you because you talk a lot. That's not why God wants to talk to you. You know, and it's what goes back to that relationship where, you know, if you are talking to someone, it's not just about the amount of words that they say, but it's really about what they say that keeps you coming back to that relationship, coming back to talk to that person. You know, we don't get together, you know, at church or just to go out to eat with friends or at a social events just to hear each other talk for as much as possible. But it's really about the words that we say and what we're saying that really impacts each other, and so that we keep coming back to this relationship. It's really about that. So it's not just about talking and talking and talking, but it's really about what we're saying and the intents of our heart when we're saying these things. So that's what God wants to hear. God wants to hear, you know, those type of things, and not just vain repetitions, as the scripture says. And it's saying that, you know, there's even certain things where it's saying, you know, your Father knows what you need. So it says, be not like them, because your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. There's certain things where it's like you just leave it in God's hand, you know, what you're going to eat that day, or certain things where, you know, further in the chapter is going to talk about, you know, the raiment and the clothing and food and those things. And understand that you just leave those things in God's hands. You don't stress about those things. You don't, you know, even necessarily pray about them, but you just trust that God is going to have those things and provide those things for you. In verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so he's saying not to pray for day-to-day things, but, you know, pray, hallowed be thy name. So it's just lifting up the name of God, glorifying the name of God. And those are the things we should be praying about. And that his kingdom will come, and that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And there's only one way that his will is going to be done here on earth, and it's going to be through the believers and through us. That's the earth, really, that it's talking about, is that we have to be that earth. We are here on earth, and we are supposed to be vessels for Christ to use. So for his will to be done on earth, you really should be praying that you are the vessel that will carry out his will on earth. So, you know, I don't know how many of you maybe pray the Lord's Prayer or whenever you do, or whenever you read the scripture, but whenever you read that, remember that you are the person that you want to be that vessel that he uses to carry out his will on earth. There's not just, you know, his will be done on earth, but you, Lord, use me to do your will on earth. And if you ever pray that. In verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So of course, every day we need our daily bread. And a scripture that's, you're gonna see this all over the Bible, but it says, verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So it's that idea that we have to forgive to be forgiven. We cannot just, you know, pray to God for forgiveness, and it goes back to that selfless and selfish mindset where we want to be forgiven. It's this, that take, but we don't want to give. So if we want to take all that, we want to have all that forgiveness, but when someone does us wrong, we don't want to forgive them. So, but how can we pray for forgiveness from God if we won't forgive people here on earth who've done us wrong, or who slighted us in some way, or cut us off in traffic, or, you know, offend us in conversation? How are we going to ask for forgiveness from God if we can't forgive our brothers and sisters for the things they do, or even not our brothers and sisters, but just anyone generally in the world where something happens, and or a friend or a coworker or something, where there's some conflict, and we get upset at them, and we won't forgive them, and we won't, you know, let that go. But then we come and pray to God for forgiveness, and it's like we can't do that. Like Jesus says many times, that's what hypocrites do, and we don't want to be hypocrites in the eyes of the Lord. So we need to forgive. We want Him to forgive our debts, so we must forgive our debtors. So we need to forgive in order to be forgiven. And verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou shalt appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Once again, the people who do it for attention, the people who do it to be seen, the people who do it to be worshipped and praised, they have their reward. But the people who do it in secret, the Father rewards them. And it's always better to be rewarded by the Father and by God than it is to be rewarded by men. Verse 19, lay not up yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So all the treasures, everything we could ever want to achieve or gain or obtain here on earth, you know, you have to realize the condition of this world. This is a fallen world. We're in a fallen state after, you know, what happened in the garden. This world is in a fallen state. So anything you store up here, it's going to fade away eventually. Like the Bible says, thieves can break through. You know, your house could just catch on fire. So many things could just happen where everything that you if you store up treasures on this earth, there's so many different ways that it can just be taken away from you at any point. And verse 21 says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So you don't want to lay your treasures, where something is prone to being lost, prone to being destroyed, prone to destruction, but you want your heart to be laid in the things that are eternal, things that will last forever, things that have a solid foundation. And that's in the Word, and that's in the Word of God, because, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will never fail. And 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So along that same vein of, where are your treasures? Where are your desires? You know, we talked about in James, where your lusts, you know, your temptations come from your lust, which is your desires. So what the things that you desire can be used as by the devil as temptations to draw you away from God. So you have to watch your desires. And Jesus is talking about that here, where are your treasures? And what are you looking at? What do you see? Because the light of your body is your eye, as the scripture is saying. So wherever your eyes go, you know, that's what's going to, you know, whatever's grabbing your attention in that way. Your eyes are where your attention is. Whatever's grabbing your attention, that's what's going to fill your body. And it says, 23 says, if your eye is evil, the whole body is evil, and it will be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? So whatever your eye is, whatever your attention is on, whatever you're focusing on, that's what's going to influence you. And, you know, and you want that to be light. But Jesus is saying here that if your eye is on the wrong thing, if your attention is on the wrong thing, if your desires are towards the wrong things, how great, and those things are wrong, how wrong are you? How bad of a condition are you in? You know, because if your eyes are on the things of God, then that's wonderful. But if your eyes are on something else and that thing's not, you know, giving you eternal value, or it's not, you know, making you better as a person, as a Christian, it's not making you a better brother or sister, you know, watch your motives. Watch the things that, be careful of the things you watch, the things that you attend to, the things that you put your time and effort into, and make sure that, you know, your motives are right. Make sure that no matter what's happening, that whatever you're looking at or you're paying attention to is not darkness. Because whatever your eye, whatever your attention is, whatever your desires are, that's what's going to fill your soul and your body. So be careful of what your treasures are and what your desires are. So God bless you. You're dismissed.